Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you, and it was great to see some extra people beforehand enjoying coffee and just connecting with each other. Some made a mad scramble just to get here just before 10:02, and but there was, yeah, it was great just to see and to encourage you to be connecting with people. Not only are we here to have relationship with God, but we encourage one another together as we connect with one another, both after a service and now potentially before a service as well. The small groups, the life groups, our pop-up ones, as well as our regular ones, as Rob indicated, are underway. The group that Michelle and I are a part of, and one of the Friday night ones that at Chris and Janine's place was a great start of just getting to know one another a little more and journeying together. And I trust that those of you who participated in your group were able to experience a little of the same. And as Rob said, it's not too late to join in. There is a table out in the foyer. You can put your name down and have a look at when those groups are on. And again, the discussion questions for those groups are in is a little insert in your newsletter this morning that you can take away. You can look at yourself, but even better, you can discuss with others. And so that's there again in the newsletter today. How about I pray, and then we'll get into what God would have us to share today. Lord God, we thank you so much for your work in our lives. We thank you so much for the way that you are a God who doesn't just stand still or sit still. You're a God that is constantly seeking to be working in each of our lives and in the lives of people around us in life. Help us to be attentive to that, and help us to be attentive this morning, particularly to the ways that you're wanting to be working in our lives out of what you say to us, how you might be speaking to us. So speak to me, speak to each of us by your Spirit this morning, I pray. In your name I ask. Amen. How many of you have seen a movie or watched something in 3D? A fair few of us. How many have seen or watched something in 4D? A few of us. I had the experience of doing that at Movie World, actually, on the Gold Coast in January when we were up there with the family, and I watched Roadrunner in 4D. And so I got squashed, and I got splashed, and I got all these extra effects jolted. But when you put on 3D glasses, or when you put on 4D glasses, when you enter the movie theater, or when you sit down in the chair, you see things very differently. 3D movie watching or 4D totally transforms the outlook that you have. Now, when we become a follower of Jesus, that totally transforms the outlook that we have in life. It's like putting on a different set of lenses. It's like instead of seeing things through our own eyes, we see things through God's eyes. Instead of just living for ourselves, it should create a shift where we look beyond ourselves. Instead of living just for the here and now, we have a bigger picture. And as we come into not the movie theatre of life, but as we come into the kingdom of God, God invites us, and actually more than that, God instructs us to put on a different set of lenses, to live in 3D. This morning we're going to take a look at what living in 3D as a follower of Jesus involves. Some of us may already be doing that as a part of our lives. Others of us may have, earlier on in our following of Jesus, have done that, but maybe the 3D lenses have got a bit blurred, or we've even taken them off, while others of us may never have actually put them on. So whatever might be the case for you, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to call us all this morning to 3D living as followers of Jesus. Why? Because it is at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The first dimension, what are those three dimensions of living as a follower of Jesus that we're particularly focusing on this morning? And the first one is this, a spiritual one. Might seem an obvious one, but the reality is that most people around us in life, in our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods, in our places of study, in the sporting clubs we might be a part of, and anything else in life. Most people around us in life do not have any real connection with a church. But much more importantly than that, they look at life through a totally different set of lenses. A set of lenses where God is not even on the radar. A secular worldview. The worldview of most people around us in society today is one that lives for the here and now, is one that focuses only on what can be seen and not on the unseen, is one that is secular, as I said, where God is not even in the mix. And even if he is, it's a God of their own making rather than the God of the Bible revealed in and through Jesus. And it's one that has a consumer way of thinking. What's in it for me? And friends, if we're not careful, some of those ways of thinking can become ours too. But as followers of Jesus, life is about much more than the physical. Life involves a spiritual dimension, whether people acknowledge it or not, and whether their focus is misplaced in that or not, as it is misplaced if Jesus is not at the centre of their lives. You might ask, what is the greatest way any of us can make a difference in the lives of others spiritually, when so many people around us live through a different set of lenses with a different worldview? It's not what we do. It's not even what we say, as important as those things might seem. It is how we pray. Here in Colossians, in the reading that Gary read to us, it's prayer, and in particular prayer for people who aren't followers of Jesus. And the sharing prayer for sharing Jesus with them that Paul makes his focus and that Paul calls us to make our focus. Let me read to you again a couple of those verses that Gary read, verses 2 to 4. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for what? Open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. God can open doors for all of us to raise the tone of spiritual conversations with people. God can open doors for all of us to be at work, for God to be at work in people's lives as we pray. Billy Graham, whose spoken words have probably impacted more people spiritually than most, as he's getting towards the end of his life on this earth, when he was asked recently, as he looked back on it, what his thoughts were, he said this, I wish that I had prayed more and spoken less to have greater impact on others spiritually. If that was true for Billy Graham, it's certainly true for me, and it's certainly true for all of us. And the question I want to ask you this morning, as I ask myself afresh, is, are you praying for people who aren't followers of Jesus? God works when we pray. And the greatest work of God is in the spiritual dimension of people's lives. Yes, God works in a whole sense in people's lives, but the greatest work of all is in a spiritual dimension. And Paul's prayer life reflected this. What about ours? God will grow our faith and God will grow his family as we focus above all on prayer for people's spiritual needs, as we pray intentionally and specifically for people that we know who aren't active followers of Jesus. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Now, Paul was speaking specifically about a group of people, the Israelites, but the principle is the same. His heart's desire and his prayer to God is for people to have their eyes opened, as we just sung about, to Jesus in their lives. And that needs to be our focus too. To be active in prayer, specifically and intentionally, for people we know who aren't followers of Jesus. We will accomplish more in our prayers than anything we will ever say or do. First dimension of living in 3D as a follower of Jesus is a spiritual one with a focus on prayer for others who aren't followers of Jesus. The second dimension is what I call the relational one, with a focus on simply relating to people who aren't yet followers of Jesus. There's a lot of things that I'm overdue to do on the home front. There's always a backlog of things to do, but one of the things I'm overdue to do, which Michelle reminds me of often, by the way, is to replant in our vegetable patch out the back at home. What's that involve for me and for those of you who might have vegetable gardens? It involves sowing some seeds in the ground that will spring up and grow. Now, think about that with me. If I was to go over the other side of the vegetable patches there, and I'm to go over the other side of the yard, and yeah, I'm going to sow some seeds. I'm going to toss them from out here across there. If I just sow seeds from the other side of the yard, from some distance away, or even just from a few feet away, that is not going to work. It's just not going to cut it. No, I need to be closer for it to be effective, for those seeds to have the greatest chance of growing into something more significant. God calls us to plant spiritual seeds for him in the lives of others. But for that to be effective, we need to have a relational focus with people. We need to be building relationships of significance with people around us who aren't yet followers of Jesus. Paul did that right where he was at. And where he was at when he wrote these words was in chains in prison. He couldn't even move from where he was. And yet he was doing it right there where he was at. And that's clear in as we read in these verses when he says, "Pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You know, just as Paul did that, right where he was in chains, in prison, we can do that right where each of us are too. We don't have to go looking for places to do it at. We can just do it right where we're at. Why? Because we all have neighbours. We all have family, we all have friends, we all have people that we rub shoulders with in an ongoing way through sporting or school groups, where we work, where we study. We all have people around us in life. And there are going to be people around us in life who we rub shoulders with regularly who are not followers of Jesus. I can guarantee it. And the second question for us this morning is, are you seeking to build relationships that go beyond a surface level to something more significant with some people that you're also praying for? Are you living with a relational dimension, a relational focus as a follower of Jesus? Because most people who become followers of Jesus do so because someone has been praying for them, yes, but also because someone has taken the time to build a relationship of significance with them. They haven't built a relationship and necessarily talked about Jesus along the way in the early stages. No, they've built a relationship of trust. They've built a relationship where they've taken an interest and really got to know someone and listened to them and cared for them. And as David talked about last week, showed compassion to them. And then out of that, questions have begun to arise and God is able to work. I want to tell you the story about a man called Eric. Eric was someone, shared a little of this with our the group we were in on Friday night. Eric was someone we moved next door to quite some years ago. Eric discovered that we were Christians, and worse than that, as far as he was concerned, that I was a pastor. He swore at me, and he said that he wasn't the slightest bit interested in anything spiritual. And he made it very clear that, as a matter of fact, he was an atheist. I said, fair enough. I respect that. And yet, what did we do? We didn't ignore Eric as a person. We just started building a relationship with him, taking an interest in him and his life story, never talking about respecting what he said, never talking about God. And as time went on, we became more and more a part of his life and he with us as a family. And eventually, maybe a year or two down the track, he started to ask us some questions about our lives and then eventually about our faith. And to cut a long story short, Eric ended up one day saying, "Can I come to church with you?" And he started to come to church. And after we moved into state, he kept going to church. And Eric rang us some years later to tell us that he had put his faith in Jesus. Did we do anything special? Not really. All we did was build relationship with him as well as praying for him. Who would God have you to do that with? Who would God have me to be continuing to do that with in my life, as God calls all of us to do as followers of Jesus, to be living through 3D lenses, where the first lens is a spiritual one focusing on praying for people. The second one is a relational one, where we're building relationships of significance with people. The third dimension of living in 3D as a follower of Jesus is to have an all-of-life dimension. Just before Colossians 4, which is what Gary read to us this morning, comes, you guessed it, Colossians 3. But Paul says this in Colossians 3, chapter 23, just a few verses beforehand. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Is your following of Jesus something that ripples over into everything and all that you do, every area of your life? Because living in 3D as a follower of Jesus is an all-of-life thing. All of us. You will have opportunities during the week that I will never have. You will have opportunities during the week to relate to people that I will never relate to. You'll have opportunities in God's time to sow seeds for God in people's lives that will extend far beyond the scope of what I can ever do. And God has placed you wherever you are for a reason. In your workplace, amongst the people that you rub shoulders with, in your areas of influence. God has placed you there for a purpose, to live for him as you do whatever it is you do. But there's another aspect of having an all-of-life dimension, and it's this: to be a link in the chain of God's work in people's lives. I'm going to watch a little multimedia clip for a moment that just gives us a little bit of a greater sense of the potential ripple effect of God's work in people's lives. So just watch that clip.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. Now he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. Now, is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked, and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life. ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ. And of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
Or will they? Not on this earth, but one day. You get the message. God is always at work in people's lives, whether we see it or not. It's not our work, it's God's work in people's lives. But we need to step out and do our part. We need to be the next link in the chain of God's work in someone's life. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task." Paul says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants this plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." The third dimension, living through a lens that sees all of life as a part of following Jesus, and is prepared to be a link in the chain of God's work in the lives of others. Will you join me in putting on 3D glasses, in making sure that our three-dimensional glasses are clear, in making sure that they're not blurred or fuzzy, but that they're clear, that we're living living in 3D as followers of Jesus. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. There's no doubt about that. But it's so worth it. And it brings such rewards, not only in this life, but beyond it. Will you join me in having a praying dimension, in having a relating dimension, in having an all-of-life dimension when it comes to people that we all rub shoulders with who are yet to find and follow Jesus? Let's pray. So we ask ourselves the questions before God this morning. The first one is, who is God putting on each of our hearts to pray for? So we've thought about that first dimension of having the spiritual dimension and the importance of prayer in that. Who is it that God might have you to pray for? And to think about the people that you know who aren't active followers of Jesus. Who might they be for you? Just take a moment now, just in these moments, just to ask God, and if God is beginning to show you perhaps one or more people who that might be, to begin to pray for them even now. And the second question, who right where I'm at could I be developing a relationship with, a more significant relationship with? As you think about the people you rub shoulders with, or the people that you have the opportunity to connect with across the course of life, who would God have you to be not only praying for, but developing a more significant relationship with? And then the third question,
How could I be following Jesus? How can I be following Jesus across all of my life? Maybe your following of Jesus is in some areas of your life, but there are other areas of your life maybe where you are not actively following Jesus, or at least your following of Jesus is not evident in that area. So we just sit with that under God and hear what it is that he's saying to you there. God, it's great to be a part of your family. But we know that your heart is, and I pray that increasingly that'll be our heart too, to want others to be a part of your family too, and to each one play our part in that, to live in 3D in this way, as 3D followers of Jesus. Lord God, we pray for your church family in this place. You know each one's situations. You know each one's needs. We pray for your work in the lives of those amongst us who need it in special and particular ways. Lord, help us to be dependent on you. Help us to not live life in our own strength, but to live life with a trust in you. We pray for even this week ahead, for all of us as we scatter in different places, for those who are teachers, for those who are business people, for those who are office workers, for those who are work in management, for those who work in the medical field, for those who are retirees, those who work in all kinds of areas, and those who are at the home front. Lord, wherever we are and whatever we're doing over this week ahead, I pray that you would be at work in our lives and that you'd be at work through our lives. And we pray for the life of the church family together. Pray for the various groups that are meeting, not only the regular life groups, but the pop-up ones. We pray that you'd be at work in those times, encouraging each other, getting to know each other more, and getting a greater sense of all that you've called us to together, as well as individually. God, we pray for the Generational Links launch over lunch, and for the families at the park this afternoon. And God, we pray for the life of the church family beyond this place as we partner in mission with others. We pray for the Shores and ask Perry and Karen Shaw that we have journeyed with for many years as a church, continue to be at work in their lives and through them into the lives of others in the Middle East as they have opportunity to see the ripple effect of what they invest in the lives of others be passed on in many and very different places. We pray for Friends of Refugees, which we partner with as well, and for their work in amongst refugees and those who are new to our country. Lord, thank you for their heart of compassion and care, and as we continue to partner with them, help us to continue to play our part there. As we partner with Sports Chaplaincy as well, thank you for the many, many people in our nation today who so many people are involved in sports. And we pray that we would continue to find ways to be involved in the lives of people. And thank you for the way that Sports Chaplaincy seeks to be a part of that. Pray for the Jennings and the Morrisons, who we also partner with as a church. And again, we ask that you would be with the Jennings, preparing the way for them as they seek to go to Fiji to work amongst a minority group there later in the year. And for the Morrisons, who are in the amongst Indigenous Australians, Lord, we pray for them and particularly for the team of young adults from this church who'll be going for a short-term missions trip with them in a few months' time. Lord, we offer ourselves. We offer our homes, our resources, our gifts, our talents, and our finances to you. And as we come to the offering now, Lord, may you take and use what we offer to you. We recognize that And that what we have is so little in comparison to all that you've given to us. But you are the provider of all that we have. And we acknowledge that it's not really ours, but it's yours. And so as we give back to you, may your kingdom be extended and your work be multiplied in and through that. And we ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.